Saturday afternoon and time for the sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, it's yarn spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club, where the fans gather these Saturday afternoons to rehash the big games, the fights, and the races. It's open house, and host for this occasion is the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. Granny Rice not only settles most of the arguments, but he always has a good story for his friends. Stories collected during 30 years of covering all the big sporting events. So now, join us in fancy down at the Sportsman's Club for another story, especially selected for you by Grantland Rice.
Hey, Granny, what kind of football season do you think we're going to have this year?
Yeah, got any favorites picked, Granny?
How about that?
Well, I'll tell you, fellas, I've got some very good news for you. I know how we all love football. Well, in the last 10 days, I've seen about 20 of the leading sporting football writers of the country, including a flock of our best football coaches. And they all tell me, and I know they're on the level, that this is going to be one of the greatest seasons we've ever had. I mean, covering every section, every part of the map. And I really think that's true. Now, you ask me about favorites. Well, I'm going to give you a little tip. Just watch two teams. That's Army and Navy, and I mean West Point and Annapolis.
Well, what's the yarn today, Granny?
Well, Stanley Frank wrote this one for Collier's, and he called it Old Indispensable. It's a story of Quentin Boyle, a pitcher who could win ball games, but not the respect of his fellow men. Now, let's hear about Quentin Boyle from a fellow who knew him well, Ras Cobb, the sports writer.
Quint Boyle? Well, I never liked the guy, and he knew it. We could pitch. Nobody wins 21 games in a season just by accident, but he won't win any more. Boyle is through. His arm is as dead as a fried mackerel. But the way I get the story, Boyle's skill as a pitcher is well lost. He's found something worth a good deal more. Maybe I better start at the beginning, when Boyle, with his usual gall, summoned all the sports writers to a meeting at a downtown restaurant. A press conference, if you please. As if Boyle was the president or something.
Where is the guy, anyway? He said he'd be here at 1 o'clock. It's 1:30 now.
You don't expect the great man to be on time, do you? He's got to make an entrance.
You don't like the guy, do you, Rascal?
Like him? Well, frankly, and this is not in confidence, no. I think he's... I don't like him.
Well, a boy can pitch, and he's good copy. That's all I care about. As long as he keeps winning and popping off, I'll put his name in the paper.
Yeah, I guess that's about it. Yeah, here comes the great man now.
Well, hiya, fellas. Hiya. How's everybody? Hey, waiter, bring another round all around. Everything on me today, fellas.
Well, what's the celebration for, Quint? Sign that new contract?
Oh, nothing like that. I got a real story for you guys. The hottest story in town.
Oh, yeah, let's have it, Quint.
Well... You see, it's this way.
When do you go in the Army, Boyle?
I'm going... Hey, wait a minute, Rascal. Just what makes you think I'm going into the Army?
Easy. There are only two stories about a ball player these days. Either he's been traded or he's been drafted.
Oh.
You haven't been traded because the wire services would have carried it. So you must have been drafted. How about it?
Well, yeah.
What's the story?
When do you report, Boyle?
2 weeks from today.
Say, what are the pilgrims going to do without you, Quint?
The pilgrims? Those bums? They'll probably finish just where they started, on the rocks.
They're going to miss you, big fella. Where can they get another pitcher who's won 78 games in the last 4 years?
Yeah, and don't forget, 3 in the World Series.
Say, Quint, maybe you'll be assigned to special services where you can pitch for some Army team. They're doing that with a lot of ball players now.
Hey, there's an idea, Quint.
Oh, now, come on. Wait a minute, fellas. I'm not that kind of a sucker. Listen, I just tore up a contract for $17,000. Now, ain't I giving up most on most guys? Sure. I'm not playing any baseball for $50 a month. If the Army wants me to pitch, let them pay me.
Well, I'll be...
May I be excused, Mr. Boyle? I've got an important story to cover. A dog show. Good day, gentlemen.
Hey, what's the idea of that crack?
Of
course, Boyle's remark about not playing baseball for $50 a month got into the papers, but the fans were used to reading about Boyle popping off, and nobody seemed to take it too seriously. Anyway, the 2 weeks rolled by. Boyle, against the advice of everyone, stayed up most of the night and showed up at his draft board at 6 a.m. with his eyes half shut, but his mouth anything but shut.
All right, men. Attention, please. Attention. Men, the members of your draft board have tried to give each one of your cases fair consideration. We're sending you now for your physicals. Most of you will be accepted for some branch of the armed services. We wish you the best of luck. Now, I'm appointing Quentin Boyle here to take you over. Boyle, you take these papers?
Sure.
Fall in behind Boyle here, men. Here are the papers, Boyle. And, say, Quentin.
Yeah.
Would you sign this for me? My youngster collects autographs.
Oh, sure. Why not? There you are.
Mighty nice of you, Quinn. Oh.
Well, you're in pretty good shape. Now, your name is Boyle. Quentin Boyle, the pitcher?
That's me, Doc.
Well, glad to know you, Boyle. Saw you pitch in the series last year.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's fine. I'll be seeing you, Doc.
Hey, Mac. See who that was? Quint Boyle, the pitcher.
Boyle, eh?
That's right. Old Indispensable, they call me. Say, would you mind picking up one of them rubber stamps and let me have the bad news? What is it? Accepted or rejected? Uh-oh. I'm in.
You're in, Boyle. Say, aren't you the fellow who said you wouldn't play baseball for $50 a month?
Well, no. What if I did? There's nothing in the Army rules that say you gotta play ball, is there?
No. All right. Move along. Move along.
All right, Quint. Listen, we want to get a few shots here. You mind slipping on this baseball cap and army shirt?
Oh, sure. Let's have it.
Yeah, okay, Eddie. Yeah, that's it. All right, now, here, just hold this rifle like it was a baseball bat, see?
What do you mean, like this?
Attaboy, Quint. That's swell, Quint. Now, hold it, will you?
Look in the camera, Quint. That's it.
All right, just one more now, Quint.
Hey, you think I was a prima donna? Take your time, fellas.
Hey, Quint, are you taking your furlough or leaving for camp right now?
Me? Listen, I'm leaving right now. I'm off for camp today.
Oh, say, Quint, will you sign this match cover for me? I want to send it to my girl.
Why, sure. Why not?
Thanks a lot.
Then will you sign this autograph on my shirt, Mr. Boyle?
Anytime, kid, anytime.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Boyle.
Sure.
All right, men. On your feet, everybody. Hey, you. You with the fountain pen.
Oh, me?
Yes, you. What's the matter? Didn't you hear me?
Yeah, sure, but who's smoking?
Pipe down. All right, Bright Eyes, what's your name?
My name's Boyle. Quentin Boyle.
Boyle. The pitcher?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're him, all right. I've been wanting to meet you for 3 years.
No.
Yeah, ever since I saw you pitch in Philadelphia.
Yeah?
You should remember the game, Boyle. You should, you Goldbrick. That was the day you had a hangover and the A's beat your brains out.
What?
You tried to hang the rap on the kid playing first base. Remember how you made a monkey out of the kid by throwing your glove on the ground and putting on a big act? Remember how you wouldn't leave the game when the manager took you out? That was a great exhibition.
Hey, listen, chum, you make some pretty long speeches, don't you? What makes you such an authority on baseball?
I've done a little pitching.
Oh, yeah? Well, pardon me, fella. Would your name happen to be Matheson or Johnson?
The name is Harris. Mike Harris.
Harris. I never heard of it. That must have been a pretty classy league you played in, chum.
It was out in the Philippines and in Hawaii. Just an army team.
Oh, an army team. Amateurs, eh? Well, you must be a wonderful soldier if they bring you back home so soon, especially when the shooting gets starting out there.
I'm back here to make soldiers out of tramps like you.
All right, Sarge, you hang around. You teach me the Army, and I'll teach you baseball.
Bright Eyes, you give me an idea.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm just passing through this reception center like all of you guys. I'm shoving along to the regular base with you. I think it could be arranged for you and me to be in the same outfit. Yeah, Boyle? I'm choosing you, Bright Eyes.
Well, the way I get the story, this Sergeant Mike Harrish was a tough monkey. He drilled Boyle's company until their tongues were sunburned. And Boyle found just one routine day in camp tougher than pitching a doubleheader in St. Louis in August. But he managed to give Harrish an arrogant smile at the end of the day, even when he had to pull it up from his shoes. Boyle's fame began to diminish as an interest in the Army replaced an interest in baseball among the men. But then one night, Sergeant Harrish came into the barracks with an announcement.
All right, men. At ease. All right, knock off. They're forming a divisional baseball league in the camp. And infantry is supposed to enter a team. I think we can get a pretty fair ball club together. Now, who wants to play?
Good idea.
Put me down for the outfield.
Yeah, I used to play third at high school.
So. Rogan? Schneider? Yeah. All right. Pearson?
Yeah.
Okay. Pappas?
Right.
Benson, huh?
Right.
There were plenty of volunteers for the infantry ball club, but everybody in the barracks was watching the one man who could make their club a standout. Quentin Boyle, old indispensable.
How about you, Zimmerman?
Sure, count me in, Sarge.
And Hardy, you've played some baseball, that's haven't
right.
you?
Yep.
Now, is there anybody else? No? Boyle?
Not for $50 a month, Sarge.
No. Quint Boyle, the guy who tore up a contract for $17,000, wasn't playing baseball just for the fun of it. Well, with Harrish pitching, the infantry went out and beat the engineers in the tanks. As a pitcher, Harrish didn't have much class. His fastball was straight as a string, and his curve was just a wrinkle. But the Sarge worked hard. Bore down on every ball. He pitched to hitters as he drilled recruits. Now, meanwhile, the Pilgrims were clinching the pennant without old indispensable Boyle. And it was getting to be too much. His old club didn't need him. The infantry didn't need him. He needed a hypo for his ego, and so...
Oh, Sergeant.
Hmm? Oh, it's you, Boyle.
Yeah. Say, I'd like to go out for the team.
Yeah? You're a little late, aren't you?
Well, of course, if you feel that way...
I don't feel any way. The club can use you. Come on out.
Okay.
Well, the way I get it, Boyle is a big hero again. And he puts on quite an act, prancing around the field, affecting all the exaggerated mannerisms of his big league days. He took his place beside Harrish as the Sarge warmed up on the sidelines and... made him look like a rank amateur in comparison. He bore down right away, although this was his first workout in months.
What's the matter, Sarge? Where's your stuff today? Hey, you're not very quick today, are you, Sergeant? Oh, or is that what you call your fast ball? Hey, Sarge, look at this.
That's all right, Boyle. We can use that. You better take it easy, though.
Hey, listen, you're not trying to tell me how to pitch, are you?
Now get this, Boyle. What I don't think of you and vice versa doesn't make any difference. But I just got word we got to wind up this league in 10 days.
Oh, yeah? Hey, maybe that means they're shipping us over.
I don't know what it means, see? All I know is we got to play 3 games in 10 days. How can you take the last two? The artillery and the Ajax?
Why not, Sarge? Why not? It's a breeze.
That's all I want to know.
Oh, look, watch this one, Sarge.
Hey, Boyle, you sure you aren't bearing down too much for the first day out?
Oh, me? No.
But he was the big lug. He was bearing down too much just to show up a guy who couldn't have matched him in a million years. And so when Saturday rolled around, Boyle showed up with a sore arm. There was a cold drizzle of rain falling, and as he warmed up, Boyle felt a dull throb of pain every time he threw. And so he did what he'd have done if he'd still been old indispensable on the Pilgrims.
Hey, Sarge, I gotta talk to you.
Yeah, Boyle?
Hey, listen, I can't pitch today.
You can't pitch?
No.
Why can't you pitch? The boys are counting on you.
Yeah, I know they are, sure, but I got a sore arm, and if I tried to pitch in this weather, well, it might wash me up for good.
It might, huh?
Yeah, that's the way it is, Sarge. I gotta take care of the old arm, you know.
Yeah. Take care of that arm, Boyle.
And so Mike Harris went out to pitch his third game in a week. And what happened? Artillery knocked his ears off. And this is the way I get it. Afterwards, as the boys came into the dressing room...
Boyle! Yeah, what do you want?
Get out of here. Get out before you smell up the place.
Hey, what's eating you anyway?
You don't belong with soldiers, you quitter. Your public should have seen you today, seen you let down your own outfit.
I told you I had a sore arm tonight.
Nuts to your sore arm. I don't believe it. All indispensable, huh? You're as expendable as a skunk. Now beat it.
Now you listen to me, wise guy. Don't pull your rank on me. I won't take it, see? If you didn't have on those three stripes, he wouldn't talk to me like that.
Wouldn't I,
no.
Huh? Well, there ain't no three stripes on this baseball shirt. What are you going to do about
I'll
it?
I'll do plenty.
You cheap phony, come on. We're all even now. Let's see what you can do when you haven't got the edge.
Okay, punk, you ass
you for mangy bum.
Cheap,
come on. I got a shirt. Lay off, don't you? All right.
Somebody always stepped in and separated you after a couple of token punches. But not here. Nobody stepped in. They just stood around and watched.
All right. That's that. Now listen, you guys. If anybody asks questions, just remember I started it. I hit him first. That's one part of the story they'll believe. Throw some water on the bum, somebody.
Nobody asked Quentin Boyle for his autograph now. In fact, nobody bothered to talk to him unless it was absolutely necessary. Then there came an order for Boyle to report to Colonel Menon. It puzzled the great Boyle. Couldn't be on account of a fight. Colonels don't bother with such things. The old man couldn't demand an explanation for his refusal to pitch. Baseball wasn't an official detail. On Monday afternoon, Boyle stood before Colonel Menon's desk and waited anxiously for him to speak.
Oh, yes, Boyle. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Boyle, I suppose there have been some rumors around the camp.
Well, I have heard some, sir.
Well, I'll come to that. Boyle, I haven't been following the baseball tournament very closely, but I understand the infantry hasn't much chance of beating anti-aircraft for the championship if Sergeant Harris pitches. Now, this isn't an order, Boyle. It's a request. I'd like to see you pitch that game for the infantry. I want to see the infantry win.
Well, sir, if you'll pardon my asking you, why do you want the Yak-Aks licked?
I'll tell you why. I'm depending on your discretion as a soldier to keep this secret. I want you to promise that you won't write or phone anybody from now on.
Well, nobody is waiting to hear from me, sir.
All right. Here it is. The infantry is leaving for a combat area overseas immediately after the game on Wednesday.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm telling you this, Boyle, because I want to impress on you the importance of winning the game for infantry. I want the men to leave this country with the morale and attitude of winners. That's why I'm asking you to pitch. You can win for them. Huh? Will you do it?
Well, sir, I'd be very glad to pitch, but my arm is
good,
sore.
Good, and it's all settled.
Well, I don't think the other fellas really want me, sir. They think that I'm...
Nonsense. Of course they want you. You're the only big leaguer in camp.
Yes, sir, I know, but you don't understand, sir. In the last game, my arm...
Yes, got... you just give them everything you've got. I'll be up in the stands. That's all, Boyle.
But, sir, I really ought to explain
good day,
that...
Good Boyle.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
They let him pitch all right, but as Boyle warmed up on the sidelines, his teammates had made it clear that he wasn't one of them. Nobody said anything. That was the trouble. They were giving him the silent treatment.
Play ball!
Boyle walked up to the mound, tossed a few pitches to the catcher, and sensed that something was wrong again. Not a sound was to be heard on the field. There was none of the encouraging infield chatter that usually preceded the first pitch. He realized that he was entirely on his own. That's the way he had to win, on his own.
Okay. Okay, if that's the way you guys want it, I'll show you. Even with a sore arm, I'll show you.
He pitched slowly and carefully the first inning, nursing the arm he had senselessly strained in practice just to show up Mike Harrish. He kept his curve low and his fastball high, and he got the axe out on his reputation. But even up in the stands, you could see he was throwing balloons up to the plate. A kid yelled an encouraging word from the stands. A kid in his outfit who didn't know that he was a heel. And Boyle looked up in surprise as he walked toward the dugout, looked up and grinned in sheer gratitude. But in the dugout, nobody had a word of any kind for him.
We can make it.
All right, come on. Let's get a hitter up there now.
Wait for a good one, Jack.
You can do it, boy. You can do it, kid.
All right, you guys, don't talk. I'll win anyway. I'll win, that is, if this arm will only hold out.
He got them out in the second. And then to work himself out of a hole in the third, he let go with a real fast one.
Oh, it's starting. It's starting up again. The pain will be worse in the next inning. By the eighth, I won't even be able to stand it. But I gotta stand it.
You could see him wince all the way up in the stands. Boyle's arm was hurting him. Back in the big leagues, he would have told the manager, and they would have hustled him out of there. The trainer would have worked over him. There'd have been a sun lamp to bake the soreness out. In the big leagues, they didn't take chances with $17,000 pitching arms.
Attaboy, quick! You gotta reach out your hand, good boy!
Hell, he had one rooter. The kid up in the stands. He got by the fifth, and when he walked to the dugout, he started to say something and then thought better of it.
All right, who's the hitter up there?
You're up, Steve.
All right, Steve, let's get some runs in here this time. Come on.
Hey, Sergeant. Sergeant.
Yeah?
Hey, look. I've been watching Werner out there. That guy tips off his fastball and his curve. He throws the fastball off his ear straight overhand, but he gets a sidearm motion into the curve. Now watch that, Steve. Watch it and you can unload.
Yeah, they just grunted. But Boyle's information was straight. The infantry combined a single and a double and got two runs out of the inning. Boyle went into the sixth with a lead. He bore down again to protect that lead. You could see the pain twist the face of the big fellow as he walked off the mound in the seventh. Pain that had started as the merest twinge and now was a dull, aching throb.
I can't make it. I gotta tell him. I can't go out there again. I'm ruining my arm. I'm throwing it away. I'll tell them that. They can't hold that against me. They can't expect me to pitch my arm away, can they? Why, it's my living. I'll just say I can't go and do it. No, I'll finish this game if it kills me.
He dragged himself out to the mound for the eighth. And as he did, something happened.
All right, Clint, boy, you can do it, kid.
All right.
Stay down there, boy.
You won't get nothing through us, boy.
We're right behind you, Clint, fella.
Yes, spontaneously, the infield chatter had broken out. The kid seemed to sense the great fight that Boyle was putting up. He looked around at them, bewildered. He mopped his brow and faced the first hitter.
Well, they're talking to me. The guys are talking to me. They're not sore anymore. They're for me. No, I gotta make good.
Yep, the infield was beginning to talk it up as of old. But everything Boyle could put into his pitches wasn't enough to keep a run from scoring. But it was only one run. One run because on the last pitch of the inning, Boyle exploded the best fastball of his career across the plate, letter high. The pain seared his arm like a white-hot iron. It dangled limply as he came into the dugout.
Nice going out there, kid. Just hold him one more time.
Here's your sweater, Quint.
All right, fellas, let's give Quint another couple of runs, huh?
Yeah, boy.
What do you say?
But there was no score. Boyle sat huddled in the corner of the dugout. It seemed that he'd been there only a moment when it was time to take the field again.
All right, Quint, let's go, boy. Just three more outs and we got him.
It took every ounce of his strength for Boyle to pull himself to his feet. He walked unsteadily out to the mound, shook his head to clear it, and peered at the first hitter. He threw up a ball that had nothing on it but the cover. But miraculously, the shortstop knocked down a line drive that was labeled for a hit. But the next man hit a clean single to left, and Boyle's legs sagged under him. All sense of control deserted his arm. He walked the next man and put the winning run on base.
The fast one. I gotta throw the fast one. Just give me the fast one. Just a few more.
Right.
Oh, now, please, please, another fast one.
Right.
Now, one more. One more.
Right. Three.
Something happened that time, all right. That finished it. My arm's gone for good. I've ruined it. I'm through and through. And I don't care.
Boyle faced the last man. He worked the count to 3-2, looked around at the runners poised to take off on the next pitch. He mopped his brow and then gazed long and steadily at his dripping fingers. And temptation whispered itself in his ear.
A spitter. That'll do it. I could throw a spitter. With the sweat on my fingers, I could throw a spitter. I'd done it before and they never caught me. I can get him out with a spitter. I'll throw it just this one last time. No. No.
Hey, didn't you see that? That was a balk.
All right, runners, move up a base.
There are men on second and third now, and still the final pitch to come. He wound up and threw it. It wasn't a pitch. It was almost like a convulsion, but it came straight over the plate. It was a slow roller toward the pitching box. Boyle grabbed for it unsteadily. He didn't trust himself to throw it to first. He ran, almost stumbling, his fingers gripping the ball like a vice. He crossed the bag inches ahead of the runner. He tripped and fell, but he held onto the ball, and then, not hearing the crowd that was yelling its head off for him, he got up, and still holding tight to the ball, he walked off the field. Quint Boyle, old indispensable, a winner at last.
Oh, that was the greatest game you ever pitched in your life, boy.
Boy, you were solid, kid. You were right.
Thanks a lot, fellas. Thanks. Well, I got to get going. I got some packing to do.
Yeah, ain't we all?
Oh, you said that.
Boyle.
No, he's
done.
Boyle, wait for me.
Huh? Oh, it's you, Sergeant. Sure.
It was a great game, Boyle.
Yeah, it sure was.
I didn't realize your arm was that bad. I wonder if you'd do me a favor, Quint. Would you shake?
Shake? Why, sure I'll shake. Sure.
Thanks. Could I ask you another favor?
Yeah, sure, I guess so.
Would you sign this? I'd like to have your autograph, soldier.
Why, sure, Mike. Sure.
Well, fellas, that's Stanley Frank's story from Collier's, Old Indispensable. The story of a guy who traded a $17,000 pitching arm for the privilege of calling himself a soldier.
He was there in the clutch, that guy.
Well, you bet he was. Well, see you next week, man. Hello, Bill. So long. So long.
Jack. See you next week. Sorry.
This has been another visit to the Sportsman's Club for the sports stories of Grantland Rice. Granny Rice will have another story for you next Saturday at the Sportsman's Club, so remember, you're invited. In today's story by Stanley Frank, the adaptation was by Gerald Holland. Jack Hartley played Quentin Boyle, Reese Taylor played Raskob, the sports writer, and Bill Quinn was Sergeant Harrish. Others in the cast included Jim Bowles, Lynn Shearer, Dayton Allen, Owen Jordan, and Ted Jewett. George Crook was at the organ, and Grantland Rice appeared in person. The entire production was under the direction of Herbert Rice. This is the National Broadcasting Company.